Daisy, Sophie and Layla, you're in Daisy's room.
Yes.
Nan, you're in the spare room.
Greetings.
Michael, Mickey, you've won the sofa.
Oh, cool.
Uncle John, you're in the living room floor. Auntie Trish and Uncle Colin, you're in the utility room.
Mm-hmm.
Pete, you're in the shed.
Oh.
Big festive get-together coming up. Better get a Travel Lodge. Find king-size comfort up and down the country at travelodge.co.uk.
For the Christmas season, here's a hack. Lidl helps you save on these tasty party snacks. So get 50p off party time packs like delicious arancini bites, mini prawn toast and mini bao buns. They're now £1.49 each with Lidl Plus. Have a magical Christmas with Lidl.
GB only, subject to availability. Offer ends 20th November. Terms apply. See lidl.co.uk/lptv.
Tim's listening party was a lockdown sensation.
Unfortunately, it was on Twitter, which you can't listen to.
But Absolute Radio has the solution.
Tim Burgess explores seminal albums alongside the artists who brought them to life.
Absolute Radio presents Tim's Listening Party with Tim Burgess.
Hi, I'm Tim Burgess and welcome to another episode of Tim's Listening Party on Absolute Radio. If it's your first time listening, this is a show where I sit down with an artist going through a classic album and hearing the stories behind it. I've had so many enjoyable conversations with guests from the Kinks to Keane, from Sleeper to Catatonia. To catch up any of these episodes, just search for Tim's Listening Party wherever you get your podcasts to discover a whole archive of past listening parties. Just like Tim's Twitter listening party, a huge part of this is your involvement. So please get involved on social media throughout the show using the hashtag Tim's Listening Party and check out at Tim_Burgess and at Absolute Radio on X for more listening party content. This episode I'm joined by Nile Rodgers to talk about Chic's 1979 album, their third record, Risqué. Nile Rodgers, along with his band Chic's contribution to music, cannot be underestimated. They are one of the most important artists in the popularisation of disco music in the 1970s. Nile Rodgers himself is one of the greatest guitar players of all time, with a unique style that he continues to lend to leading artists to this very day. He also remains a hugely in-demand record producer. His CV boasting credits on some of the biggest recordings from the likes of Daft Punk, Duran Duran, Madonna, David Bowie, Mick Jagger, INXS, the B-52s, Pharrell Williams, and so many more. I guarantee you'll have danced to a Nile Rodgers piece of work at some point in your lives, whether it be as an original work or given the fact that he and Chic are one of the most widely sampled artists in music. Their influence is enormous. He's a man full of incredible insight and stories, so let's get into the listening party. But before Nile joins me, let's hear a classic from Chic.
Ah!
would like to talk about risque.
Yeah.
Where were you at in life at this moment in time? Set the scene.
Okay, so risque was probably, I won't say the super highest point of my partying. I mean, you know, look, when they talk about sex, drugs, and rock and roll, the interesting thing about the disco world and that whole world of the late 70s and the early 80s is that it was a loving sex, drugs, and rock and roll world. Right. There was nothing in my life and in my world that was about abuse and things like that. Everything, it was all about kindness and love. It's funny, in my autobiography, I talk about how I used to hold forth in the women's bathroom at Studio 54, and not one woman ever, and I don't remember this, maybe one did, but I'm just saying that maybe the probability of one who was embarrassed asked me to leave, but I do not remember one woman ever asking me to leave the bathroom. And I said one, probably because I had a lot of coke and they wanted it free. But two, because the atmosphere was one of peace and calm.
Yeah.
And I was just sort of like her girlfriend or a person she knew, even though I was a total stranger. And that was around the time of the Risque album. That was when I wrote Good Times.
Yeah.
And why did I write that song? Because it was a reflection of the culture that, though we were having the greatest financial recession in the history of America, the greatest ever since the Great Depression, mm-hmm. our lives seemed rosy and fantastic, and that's what art and music and dance can do. That can transform a situation that seems so down. I mean, look at kids all around the world living in the worst conditions, and they're out there playing football and they're having the time of their lives. Yeah. And they don't realize that the situation around them is horrible. They could barely eat, their parents are being exploited. But that child's mind, which is very much like people who go out to clubs and party, it's this wonderful escapist mechanism that we have.
Yeah.
That we could easily just change our mind. We could walk into a room and there could be a fire. We go like, well, let the fire happen over here. We're going to stand on this side of the room where it's really cool and everybody's dancing. And I wrote Good Times because that's how it felt. Regardless of what the political and economic situation was in America, which didn't affect me that much because I was sort of poor anyway, though I had written many hit records. Well, record companies were notorious for not paying us, and God knows it was just absurd. But we had an amazing time. Everything looked like we were billionaires. It just was so awesome. I use the words from Al Jolson's movie. In America, they call it the first talkie movie. And I say, you know, happy days are here again.
Happy days are here again. The skies above are clear again.
I say, happy days are here again. The time is right for making friends. Let's get together. The stars are going to twinkle and shine this evening about 9:15. I said, let's get together about 9:45. Boy, I'm really being a creative artist there. And then tomorrow, let's all do it again.
Happy days are here again. The time is right for making friends. Let's get together about 9:45. Come tomorrow, let's all.
And it's just great. And it's a story of life that I saw around me. And that's how it was. I could go out every night of the week. I could do my job every day of the week, regardless of feeling exhausted or hungover or what have you. The inspiration of the people, the times, and the art form gave me the energy to get through life and have a damn good time. And when I wrote that song, I was with John Deacon from Queen, and we had just met. Of course, I knew of Queen.
Yeah.
I had no idea that the future would lead David and myself to Queen's studio in Switzerland, where we would wind up doing Let's Dance. But we were all one great musical collective, regardless of what the press seemed to say. Like, oh, the disco guys don't like the rock guys. It's like, please, give me a break. Like, you know, no, we all love each other. We get along great. So anyway, so John Deacon and I were hanging out at Studio 54, and this is happened to me twice that I can remember. I meet somebody and I say, hey, let's go to studio. They think I'm talking about going to the recording studio. I was talking about, let's go to Studio 54 and party all night. So he thought I was talking about going to the studio. Like, no, we stay at Studio 54 all night, get completely laid out and wasted.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I go to the studio. No sleep, no nothing. Now we go and I write this song called Good Times. Bernard Edwards, my bass player and partner, walks in the room. I had already written out the charts for all the guys in the band.
Yeah.
And I think that John thought that that was amazing, because probably rock and roll bands probably mainly just sit around and jam and stuff.
So was John in the studio with you?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, well, so he was watching while Bernard was playing. And
I always wondered how they were going to handle that in the Queen movie. It was like, no, home, my bro was sitting right there, like, you know. And it was cool. Like, they sort of skate around it in an interesting way, because he never got any Queen songs, right?
Yeah.
It was like, these, the other dudes got the Queen songs. But he comes in and has the big one.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. Another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust.
The masterpiece. And he's sitting there and I'm playing with the band. And we're going, dan, tika, dan, tika, dan, tika, 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 dan, 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 dan. And it's got a vibe.
Yeah.
But Bernard wasn't there yet. So he walks into the studio and he says to Bob Clearmountain, our engineer, he said, hey, what's that? And Bob said, I don't know. That's something Niall came up with last night. And he comes in. And typically the way Bernard and I work together as songwriting partners, we both copy each other's parts first, and then we veer off into what becomes our individual unique part.
Yeah.
But at first, he starts playing boom, 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 because the whole band is doing that. Boom, 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 boom. And then for some strange reason, I scream out, walk. Now, the reason wasn't that strange, because we had been a band for many years, and we had tried to walk, and we had tried to do all sorts of other things through every song. So we just tried it this time.
Yeah.
So I screamed out, walk, and he went, boom, 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 boom. I was like, what? He jumped to the four chord before I got there, and I'm like going, dude, you don't do that. Like, we all get there together. We used to make fun of our drummer when Tony Townsend would do a drum fill and, like, speed up because they get all hyper. Yeah. And Bernard would always look at Tony and go, my man, you know, this ain't a race. You don't get points for getting to the one before us.
Wow.
So the fact that he jumped to the four chord before me and he goes, boop-a-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-ba-da-boo. And I went, oh, my God. And it just sounded like magic. And I screamed to Clear Mountain. I said, make it red. Make it red. And we just recorded it. One take later, good times.
Wow, wow, wow. God.
Good times. These are the
Oh,
was the opening track from Risqué, a classic from Chic. It was, of course, Good Times. You're listening to Tim's Listening Party with me, Tim Burgess, going through that album alongside Nile Rodgers.
The second track on the album is, I don't know, I mean, it's stunning, super clear, super slick, perfect second track to Good Times. It's called A Warm Summer Night.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, that's, like, so sampleable. I mean, I know that, you know, with Good Times, you know, you've had Beastie Boys. LL Cool J. De La Soul. All sort of like, you know, take your song and sort of like use it for futuristic songs, you know, more present day songs. But A Warm Summer Night, I mean, it's a track that you have to keep playing on repeat and repeat and repeat, for me anyway. Can you tell me a little bit about that, please?
It's one of my favorite compositions. When I wrote that,
so good.
Living in New York and having a large portion of my family be Puerto Rican and from the islands, we're very island, you know, come on, slavery, we're island kind of people. And Lucy Martin, our singer at that time, she's also Puerto Rican. And it was just so sweet to just have basically an instrumental. See, that's how Chic started. We started doing instrumentals with only choruses. We didn't have verses. Right. It was all about dance music. It was groove, just groove, groove, groove. Yeah. And we just go, everybody dance, clap your hands. And we just groove, down, 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 down. Because people liked to listen to music back in the day. Yeah. So Warm Summer Night was homage to that beginning of Chic, and to have the Puerto Rican girl in our band go te quiero papi was just so it was like damn, come on. and I didn't expect people to get it, who cares, but for me it was just beautiful to say, you know, could you love me tonight on a warm summer night. It would be so nice, so nice. Te quiero, papi.
Te quiero, papi.
It was like, damn, come on, baby. It's still one of my favorites.
I mean, tempo-wise, it's such a good contrast from Good Times.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know, you know, a lot of times when people are, you know, putting an album together, it's like banger, then banger, and then banger. I mean, this is obviously a different kind of vibe, you know, it's just like slow and long and just like, you know, just sexy. And I mean, obviously Good Times is the dance track and the one that everybody kind of remembers. But to me, there's something so backed up by, you know, track number two.
Yeah.
That kind of makes me happy.
And the strings.
The strings
are,
yeah,
so
orchestration.
Lovely and supportive. And, you know, and that's the interesting thing about Chic Records. Strings, typically, I wrote them as sweetening. Mm-hmm. They were not the stars. The stars of Chic is the rhythm section.
Right.
But in Warm Summer Night, just the sweetening, the way that they surround you and caress you is very important. I mean, it's a love song, straight up. I'm not kidding. You know, could you love me tonight on a warm summer night? That's it.
Beautiful.
It's that simple. Not more complicated than that.
Let's hear that second track from Risqué, A Warm Summer Night.
It would be
This is Tim's Listening Party on Absolute Radio. I'm delighted to be joined by Nile Rodgers going through Risque. That's Chic with A Warm Summer Night. Where did it all start?
It?
Yeah, you know, I mean, music for you.
Oh, I was a child.
Six, seven?
A prodigy. I wasn't a prodigy. I sucked. But music was part of the standardized, the regular American curriculum. Yeah. Therefore, I learned music at whatever level I happened to learn at. But the incredibly wonderful byproduct was that by the time I was 11 years old, because my parents were heroin addicts and we kept moving from school to school to school, I never stayed in one school longer than maybe a month. So by the time I was 11, they always assigned you the instrument that was lacking in the symphony orchestra because we all sucked. It didn't make any difference. But by the time I was 11, I knew how every instrument functioned and I could orchestrate and dance when disco happened. I wrote everything. Wow. I did, like, when you see David Bowie go, wow, those horn arrangements Nile did were amazing. Like, unbelievable. It was like, yeah, because you don't know rock and roll guys who can, like, write horn arrangements like that. It's just normal for me.
So, you know, every school that you went to, they figured
the
that
school.
Oh, the school.
Multitudes of schools.
Yeah, they all needed
something different. Right? So if I got to one school, I'd play open hole flute. I had asthma.
Nice.
That sucked. Next school. Oh, hey, give the kid a closed hole flute. Maybe he can do that. Oh, great. That's good.
Nice.
Oh, hi. Give the kid a trumpet trombone. Well, that's actually a very rare instrument. Yeah, but we have this one piece we're playing this year. Okay. So I knew the ranges of all the instruments and how they function. It was great. I mean, so, you know, when the Beatles became popular, there was a new term in music called the self-contained band.
Yeah.
Well, tell it to a kid. To us, that means you do everything. We had no idea. They didn't do orchestration. They just, you know, read the news today. Oh, boy, there's some other genius doing all the orchestration. They're doing the main part, but, you know.
Yeah.
So we thought that we had to do everything. So we go and we do our first record.
And when you say we, who we were?
Chic.
Yeah, okay.
No,
so
no one could believe that we did everything. Yeah. Like I wrote my first pop song, Everybody Dance.
Yeah.
And I did everything. Strings, horns. We're like, how do you do that? Because in America, you have one person who's the string orchestrator, one person who's the horn orchestrator, one person does the background.
Uh-huh.
I did everything.
Wow.
So that's how I became me.
This is...
That was the interview. Thank you, guys. Really nice to meet you. Leo, cool. Love you, bro.
So, this show's called The Listening Party.
Mm-hmm.
And for a bit of context, it started out on Twitter during lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
We've done 1300.
Mm-hmm.
The Great and the Good, Robbie Robertson, Kylie Minogue, Barry Gibb, Paul McCartney, Breeders, Nirvana...
done them all.
We've had them all, and people that you've probably heard of.
Mm-hmm.
We go through an album and talk about it track by track, context, where you were, what you were doing before the album, what happened after.
Oh, great!
The functionality of the last track, you know, the sort of like track four and how important that is. You know, just like real
cool.
Sort of like really digging deep, and it's now become a radio show,
mm-hmm.
Obviously. And thanks for taking part. And we've had Kings of Leon, Fall Out Boy, Texas.
Yeah.
And recently we had a friend of yours. If you don't mind, I'd like to start with a playback of what this mystery guest was saying.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
I can't wait to hear this.
Tell Nile I said hi. He'll know me very, 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 very well.
What's the story? I mean,
my distant cousin owned a studio called The Power Station. I was the gopher. I was the coffee boy. And Nile, for all intents and purposes, owned Studio B.
Yeah.
It was Chic's studio.
It was his place, yeah.
And so when Bowie came in to do that album with Stevie Ray, I wasn't in the studio much. You know, I literally, my job was to go get the beer and the burgers.
Wow.
But I absolutely was there. I walked in and saw it. Niall will echo it for you.
Yeah.
You know? I watched through the window as Bowie and Freddie sang Under Pressure. That was mind-blowing.
Wow.
There was so much going on there, and I was just a kid. Crazy.
Yeah. Anything you'd like to say about that?
No, man. I love John. I adore him. He was the greatest at getting coffee.
I think he's the greatest tea boy.
And it was really, you know what was really amazing for me? To watch John go from a person, as we used to call a gopher, to developing a fan base and an audience. And the next thing you know, we see girls hanging out in front of the studio. And it was like, wow. So this person was doing it exactly the way that I believe that it should be done.
Right.
That you have a regular job to pay your bills, and then you have another job to try and do your art form and create an audience and learn how to transmit your emotions and your artistic ideas and whatever they may be to people you don't know.
Yeah.
And that is what an artist does, right? We look to the depths of our souls and we create something from nothing for people that we will probably never see. And it's just unbelievable. And I watched John do that and I was like, wow, this is cool. I get to watch a guy do what we had heretofore been doing ourselves, but not realizing that we were accomplishing so much. And it was just great. And I love you, John. And that's really cool, man. You're awesome. And he was at one of my last really cool gigs with Prince.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Where was that?
It was down in the Caribbean in Turks and Caicos.
Oh, wow.
And I looked up, I said, check out this John standing over there. I was like,
track 3, My Feet Keep Dancing.
There you go.
And there's like the tempo is kind of like, I don't know, it's odd. I don't know what's keeping the beat. I mean, obviously the rhythm section, but is it the, to me, it sounds like the vocals keep the time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's so much space in the verses, and it's really seductive. And, of course, there's the tap dancers.
I never told this story before, ever.
Oh, good. We like that.
So I was a huge fan of the Tony Williams Lifetime, and Alan Holdsworth was the guitar player at that particular time.
Frank Zappa's favorite guitarist.
Yeah, John McLaughlin had left, and then my old teacher, Ted Dunbar, had left. And they had a song called Fred, and Fred would be this song that would go ding ding ding, and I was like going, "Oh, I love that ding ding ding." So when I wrote My Feet Keep Dancing, it goes dun 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 dun, bing bing ding ding ding. Snag that ding ding ding, those
right.
The basically superimposing the intervals that were relevant to the harmony,
mm-hmm.
but doing them in a certain way where the voice leading made a new melody on top of the groove and the chord changes. I mean, you know, it's funny, man. I always sound like I'm a jerk because I know that most guitar players, they learn guitar players by a guy coming over going, hey man, show me how to play a G chord. Hey man, show me how to play. They don't typically understand tertiary harmony the way that jazz and classical guys do. So when you hear a song like My Feet Keep Dancing and the first chord is a minor 7 with a raised 5, or as my band members like to interpret it, as a flat 6. And the reason why I think of it as a raised 5 is because the mode that we're going to attack the song in, to just go boom, 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 ding, 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 ding. It was like you get to play jazz and dance music at the same time. And then our heroes, the Nicholas brothers, mm-hmm. Bob Clearmountain and I, we went out to Los Angeles And as we were driving to the studio, I'm saying to him, I said, Bob, you know, I want the Nicholas Brothers to tap dance on this song. He's like, what? I said, yeah, I want him to tap dance on the break. And we get to Kendon Studios, and we set up these boards, and they start tap dancing, and one of them has a heart attack in the middle of the tap dancing. I was like, oh, no. How do we finish the routine? So we had the other brother overdub, and it just shows you how professional musicians are, because now his brother had a heart attack. We got to rush him to the hospital, but he's got a gig to do. Yeah. So he finishes the job. You know, Chic Records, we don't record with click tracks, right? So, you know, you could feel it go a little bit out of the pocket and we faded away.
Yeah.
But that's really historical, groundbreaking stuff for black artists. We didn't get a chance to do things on that level, and the only thing that allowed us to do it is the fact that we had already recorded the biggest selling single in the history of Atlantic Records. So
you made the record at Power Station, but you went to Los Angeles to get some other bits then, or you
know, we went to LA to do the dancing with the, because believe it or not, they were not coming to New York.
No, so. they were quite old, right?
They were older, yes.
So, well, I mean, that's a great story. And then you mixed it all at Power Station.
Yeah.
Here's the third song from Risqué. This is My Feet Keep Dancing on Absolute Radio.
Dancing, dancing, my feet are dancing, dancing, dancing.
That's My Feet Keep Dancing by Chic on Absolute Radio. Obviously, Chic changed a lot of things in music and sort of 70s. For me, while I was making notes, I was thinking, well, in the 80s, you made this record, pretty sure. It would have been the 80s, 82, Carly Simon, Why.
Yes.
Yeah, and I was dancing to that in 1987, every weekend at the Hacienda, Manchester. You'd made, I think, the number one record for Studio 54.
Yes.
Le Freak.
It's the number one record for Atlantic Records, not just
Studio 54. Oh, the number one record for, well, I mean, it was like a very heavily played record in Studio 54. And Atlantic Records, yeah. So, I mean, how does it feel to have, like, you know, people dancing, like you were saying about, you know, your story about John?
Yeah.
No, you know, you don't know these people, but they're dancing to your music and, you know, all over the world. And, I mean, it must be kind of like quite a trip.
It's amazing. It's something that, as a child, I fantasized about.
Yeah.
But, of course, I couldn't comprehend. Well, I was pretty smart. I couldn't comprehend the numbers that would actually consume.
Yeah.
I could comprehend the numbers of the people on the planet because, of course, in school they go, well, yes, this year there's 5 billion people, whatever they would say. But I certainly never imagined those multitudes of people having some relationship to a piece of music that I'm making in my bedroom,
yeah.
Just sitting on the edge of my bed with my manuscript paper going, okay, we're going to put a D minor 11. Oh my God. And then put the 4 in the bass. How cool would that be? Because now Bernard gets to go do, do, do. Like, whoa. You know, it's so it was just like an incredibly, at this point in my life, which is weird, right? Because I'm 72 years old. My gigs are 10 times as exciting as they used to be because now I have way more hits than I could have ever imagined.
Yeah.
And we play them. It's exciting. I have no boundaries. Like, I could run out in the audience. I could do whatever I want because we have wireless gear, which we've had from the very first Chic show. And by being able to touch people physically and talk to them and bring them on stage and do whatever, and that's just such a magical thing because this world is in such disarray and people are afraid of people and they dislike you for whatever silly reason. Like, you know, I like spaghetti. Oh God, you eat spaghetti. I hate you. You know, I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, we have this wacky, I mean, think about this. We are all intelligent people, right? We've all been very well educated and somehow the populace has been reduced to this way of thinking that I need to dislike you or find a problem with you because of something absurd. Like something that will never even touch their lives. Like, I hate gay people. Do you know any gay people? I saw RuPaul on TV. Oh, right. You hate him? you hate him? You know, I used to watch Archie Bunker on TV, and I loved him. He was a character. He's playing a character. It's funny. I wish that the love and the vibe that we feel at our concerts, somehow those people could take that back to their people and say, I was just at this show this weekend and these guys were playing Like a Virgin. Everybody dance. Let's dance. Yeah. You know, give me your love, blah, blah, blah. All these hit songs and everybody was hugging and dancing and having a good time. Yeah. What if we did that? It's like, how about that as an idea instead of like disliking somebody because they wear green pants or a hoodie or something stupid?
I mean, that's one thing about dance music and, you know, playing shows and stuff like that. It brings just
all the haters together in one space.
That's why I chose dance music. I was a jazz snob, so maybe on some wacky way I was similar to those people who hate people just because of an idea, like a silly idea. And the idea is as ludicrous can be.
Yeah.
All of a sudden I go into a disco and I see all these disparate people having the time of their lives. Yeah. And I'm going, why would I not want to be a part of that? Like, here's sadness and here's ultimate happiness. I think I'm going to choose ultimate happiness.
Niall, I think it's a great sentiment. Okay, it's time to go to a quick break now, but this listening party will continue very shortly. Thank you for your messages on socials so far. Keep them coming to @Tim_Burgess and @AbsoluteRadio on X using the hashtag TimsListeningParty. See you soon.
Absolute Radio, telling the story behind another iconic album with Tim Burgess.
Get involved using the hashtag TimsTwitterListeningParty.
Hi, I'm Joe Wicks, but no burpees today. I'm talking Asda's Cashbot for Schools.
Joe, how does it work?
Well, when you download the rewards app and opt in, Asda will donate cash to local primary schools. All the grown-ups need to do is shop and scan like normal.
Oh, and Joe, what's a burpee?
I'll explain later. Asda's Cashbot for Schools.
Download Asda Rewards and opt in today.
Asda, that's more like it. Exclusions apply. Selected stores, 18 plus, 0.5% donation of £2 plus shot. Selected primary schools, parent count, reg charity, 107-2833. Full T's and C's at asda.com/cashbotforschools.
You know, I really love your
Are you listening? Because Etsy has original gifts to make everyone feel heard. So let's try that again.
You know, I really love your gold droplet earrings.
Perfect. Now fast forward to the gifting.
How did you know?
Shop Etsy for personalized jewelry, custom artwork, vintage pieces, home decor and more. For original gifts that say, I get you. Etsy has it.
There are so many things to look forward to this winter. Tucking up under your coziest blanket. Starting every conversation with, I can't believe how dark it is. Convincing the kids they do need a coat. And the Škoda Winter Sale. £750 towards your finance deposit on Solutions PCP at 6.9% APR representative on top of existing offers. Jump in at Škoda.co.uk or your local retailer before the 18th of November. T's and C's apply. Excludes ENIACs and LROC. Indemnities may be required. Škoda Finance.
Yes, gang! It's Black Friday time! A little birdie told me Very have some fab deals.
Ooh, there's an Under Armour men's training knit tracksuit. Only £45.50.
And the Boss Bottled Knight 200ml. Only £59.
Flamazing!
All your Black Friday deals for fashion, home and more. Plus Very Pay. Ways to pay that work your way. Berry, let's make it sparkle. Under Armour offer ends 19th of November. Boss offer ends 30th of November. Event ends 2nd of December. Delivery from £3.99.
This Black Friday, get 3 months of Virgin Media's smooth, lightning-fast broadband, totally free, from the provider awarded best broadband experience. Smooth like a walrus on a speedboat, powering through open fjord waters. Yeah, that smooth. Visit virginmedia.com. Virgin Media. See what you can do. New customers. Virgin Fiber areas. User speed a month. Four price depends on package choice. GWS award comparing major UK providers' average performance scores. See virginmedia.com/legal/awards.
Health isn't someday in the future. It's now. It's same day GP appointments when you need that niggle seen to. And getting the results for your cancer test fast. Health is a direct line to experts, whatever time of day you need it. And mental health support that doesn't have an expiry date. Feeling your best every day starts today. Search Bupa Health Insurance to get your quote now. Bupa, this is health. Pre-existing conditions not covered. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi there, Bush and Richie here. Our mates at Tesco Mobile are bringing online safety front and centre. Together, we're starting a conversation that matters, keeping your family safe online.
As dads, we know the hardest part is knowing where to begin. Thankfully, Tesco Mobile work with child psychologist Dr. Martha and online safety expert Internet Matters to create helpful conversation starters.
Pop into the cafe at your local Tesco or visit our website to find Tesco Mobile's helpful guide and share your tips for the chance to win a cosy family weekend escape to reconnect with each other.
Head to absoluteradio.co.uk to enter.
Tune in, stay safe and start the conversation with Tesco Mobile. It pays to be connected.
Sirius.
Telling the